you're a sports fan of any kind, you know that song. It is the Fighting Irish Fight Song, and it's for a purpose. The man joining us now is John Arlotta. He is the president, CEO, co-owner, and general manager, and a whole bunch of other things of the Minnesota Swarm, and he's also a proud alum of Notre Dame, and he joins us for our last stop in the Western Conference of our general manager talks here on IsleIndoor.com, courtesy of Inside Lacrosse. It is the Off the Crossbar podcast. My name is Teddy Jenner, and this is John Arlotta. John, how are you?
Hey, good, Teddy. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You are a man of many talents and a whole lot of mystery, and I can honestly admit I knew very little about you when you decided to make the purchase of the National Lacrosse League's Minnesota Swarm back in 2008. Give the lacrosse fans a quick background of who John J. Arlotta is.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm not sure. I'm a man of many talents, but maybe I have been a mystery to a lot of people, so I don't mind sharing that very quickly. I'll give you the short version. I actually, as you mentioned, went to Notre Dame, and after graduation, ended up in the healthcare field, where I have been for, gosh, the last 45 years of my career. I actually got involved in lacrosse when I was running a healthcare company in Baltimore, Maryland. You can't live in Baltimore without being involved somehow in lacrosse, and that was really my first taste of lacrosse.
You also got involved in the ROTC a bit?
Oh, yes, at Notre Dame. That's true. I was in the Army ROTC, and when I came out of school, spent about 3 or 4 months, I guess it was, on active duty in the Army. Mm-hmm. And that was about the time, I'm really going to date myself now,
but
that was about the time that the Vietnam War was winding down.
Yeah.
So rather than taking officers out of ROTC, they just told us it's okay to go into the reserve. So I was in the reserves for the next 8 years.
Wow. And is that where your sort of strategic mentality and your business-like, workman-like, sort of regimental style of running a lacrosse team, is that sort of where it's based on, is your time working in the reserves?
No, I don't know. It probably comes from a lot of different things. Yes, there's no question the Army gives you that sort of disciplined approach to life, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it also comes from the training in college and maybe a little of my heritage as well. So it's probably a combination of all of those things.
You've been a part of numerous companies, and just looking on the Swarm website, you've been involved with Coram Incorporated, which was a $500 million company. You've been involved in Neighbor Care Incorporated, which was a $1.6 billion company. You've got some pretty deep pockets.
Well, they that wasn't my money, though. That was our shareholders' money.
Well, that's not fair, then.
So it was a lot of people who had deep pockets who basically asked me to come and run their companies for them. In the case of Neighbor Care, it was a U.S. company that I actually took public,
mm-hmm.
which was a fun experience until 3 months after going public, and our largest competitor made a hostile tender offer for us.
Oh.
And in the business world, that's a rather unique thing to have happen, and
mm-hmm.
they don't teach you anything about that in business school. And it was really brought out the competitive juices, because you're fighting to keep your company independent,
yeah.
And the other side is fighting to get your shareholders to vote to sell the company. And so that was really an interesting experience. Quorum was a private company, but still owned by a group of investors who asked me to go to Denver and get involved in that company.
Would you ever see a hostile takeover in the National Lacrosse League?
Well, there's a lot of hostility that
That's
occurs
true.
In the National Lacrosse League, but I don't think it would be in the form of a takeover. No,
true.
I can't see that.
Obviously, being involved in the Swarm now, but just talking before we started this, you're back involved in the healthcare business again now?
I am, yes. It's a neat company down in South Carolina, just off the island of Hilton Head.
Yeah, know it well.
And I was actually retired, or should I say semi-retired,
mm-hmm.
because when I went into retirement is when I actually bought the Swarm.
Yeah.
So I was semi-retired. My son Andy has pretty much taken over the day-to-day operations of the team. And so when the call came to perhaps come here and run a company again in the healthcare field, my wife and I took a close look at it, did our diligence, and said, this is a pretty pretty neat opportunity. So we're both back down here in South Carolina right now.
So how does a guy that, you know, is in the healthcare industry, yes, you had a little bit of background with your time in Baltimore at the game of lacrosse, but how does a guy in the healthcare industry buy a national lacrosse team?
Well, it almost feels to me like it was meant to be, even though at the time I didn't know this. So if you go back to Baltimore, I moved our company. As we were becoming a public company, I decided that we needed to have really a better face for the company and decided to move the company into a new facility. And it turned out that my landlord there, as I found out after we moved in, was an All-American at Johns Hopkins many years ago. And he started taking me out to Hopkins games. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we ended up selling that company. And when we did, I was kind of looking around for something to do. And that's when Notre Dame called and asked me if I could help them out in some way. And we had had some good fortune at that point in time. And we started investigating things that we could do. And lo and behold, the lacrosse program came up. And I talked to Kevin Corrigan and the ladies coach there, and my wife and I decided that we were going to use some of what we were fortunate enough to have made in that 45-year career and give back to the lacrosse program at Notre Dame.
What is it about lacrosse that draws you to it?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. There's definitely a lure to this game that is, it's a little bit hard for someone who's never played it even to describe and have someone in the audience believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But please do believe it. It grabbed us. It grabbed me. My wife actually played lacrosse in high school.
Oh, nice.
I never did. When I was at Notre Dame, I had a chance to play club lacrosse and did not because I was so busy with other things.
Yeah.
But it just, I think it's a combination of the speed, the athleticism of the players, the physicality of the game, the skill that's required. You look at it, and it's just you know, a very unique game in all of those different ways. And for someone who's played other sports in their life, as I had, you know, you just look at it and say, wow, this is a combination of so many different sports. It becomes very exciting. And then, of course, once you start watching it and going to games, you really get hooked then.
You've been so hooked that you've actually had the stadium named after you. How much of an honor was that?
Oh, that was a tremendous honor. And probably one of the you know, one of the most important moments of our family's lives. My children also had an opportunity to participate in that. And of course, the name, the Arlotta name, is on the stadium, but they contributed themselves. And my wife was very, very supportive, being a lacrosse player.
Yeah.
So it's a tremendous honor. Beyond that, it's been a really neat thing to be a part of because the kids who are touched by the stadium are so appreciative.
Yeah.
And continually tell us that. And you know, we just look at it as we were trying to do something to be helpful, and they look at it like it was one of the most wonderful things that could have ever happened to them. And so it makes it, we've made a lot of friends that we probably wouldn't have made otherwise as a result. And I really feel like going back to that day in Baltimore when I discovered that my landlord was a Hopkins All-American, that the whole thing was almost meant to be.
Yeah.
That was the next step in the lacrosse side of things for us.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story. Now, being an Irish guy, I got to ask you this question. What were your thoughts on the Manti Te'o debacle?
Oh, it's a tough one. It's a strange situation. There's no question about that. We go to every game. We have a home in South Bend that we go there for the weekends during football season. Mm-hmm. And so we're very close to everything that goes on there. I'm also on the Undergraduate Experience Council at Notre Dame. And so I get an opportunity to really see what happens with the kids who are in school at Notre Dame. And the one thing that I would say is anybody who's making a judgment about this has to first, I believe, for example, the word relationship. What was a relationship when you were that age versus what a relationship might be today? And we have so many things that are different among the different age groups in this country, and our experiences are so different. And I just don't think that someone that's not in that age group can fully appreciate, what kids at that age do. Mm-hmm. And I do know a lot of people at Notre Dame who think the world of him, and because of those people, I think the world of him. So I'm just going to say, bottom line is, there was probably a mistake made somewhere along the way that, we all make mistakes in our lives, but this is a great kid in so many different ways, and it's a different time and a different era for those of us that are older. We have to understand that when we try to understand that situation.
Let's move on to the lacrosse world, because that's mostly what this is about, but it was nice to sort of figure out, where you come from, your thoughts and beliefs and everything else. But you made some pretty hefty news in the lacrosse world in the past couple of years when you just started trading all your veterans, cutting costs, making room for younger players, and stockpiling draft picks, and it's really paid off. What made you make that conscious decision that you were going to say, you know what, we're going to build from the ground, we're going to build with youth?
Well, it was less about cutting costs than it was wanting to try a slightly different approach.
Okay.
Although I won't shy away from the fact that we're one of those franchises in the league that has struggled, and mm-hmm. being a business guy, I have to look at the business side of what we do, and I have to be realistic about where we are and the development of our fan base and so on. So there's no question that I was thinking about the cost side, but it really wasn't the primary driver in my thinking. I just wanted to try getting younger and athletic and looking for a particular type of person, mm-hmm. as opposed to just a particular type of lacrosse player. And, I said to somebody along the way that in the businesses that I'm involved in, I always interview people before I bring them into the business in one way or another. And the first few years involved in this, I hadn't even been involved in interviewing some of the players that we were bringing in. So I just wanted to take a step back and try to do it in a way that I knew that the not just the kind of lacrosse player, but the kind of person that we were getting, and then the type of athlete was something that was easy to see on the field. So we wanted maybe a little bit different type of athlete as well. But that was just our philosophy, our style. In Minnesota, we have to really entertain mm-hmm. as much as we can, and to have an up-tempo, fast, athletic team that the fans could really get excited about was, maybe part of the financial strategy as well, because I felt like we could get more people out if we could have a very exciting brand of lacrosse. So I guess it was a combination of a lot of different things, but I didn't, as I told our team when we first got together after that summer, yeah. I did not do this because of costs, and I did not do this for any other reason than I wanted to put together a team that I thought could win it all. And so from the very beginning, setting the record straight with our own team, I said I did this so that we could win.
Yeah.
Not so that we could lose and end up with a higher draft pick next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just it was a different approach, a different style, if you will, and not to say that any other approach or any other style is wrong. It's just that that's what we wanted to try to do.
You talked about looking for a specific type of person. We often ask, I've been asking all the GMs through this process, do you look for a person that's the best player, available or the best person for the culture that you've built, and you kind of already answered that, but what is that culture that you're trying to build, that you're trying to find that perfect molded player for?
Well, Teddy, this is a little tougher question to answer. It's hard to put your finger on. You have to sit and talk to somebody and get a comfort level with that person and how they run their life on and off the floor, what's important to them as a person, you know, how important is family to them. All of these things add up to, you know, the kind of person that we wanted that, you know, basically lacrosse was first in their life, but not the only thing in their life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I often tell our players that I want playing for the Minnesota Swarm to be more than just about lacrosse. I want it to be about helping them to learn the kind of life lessons that will help them later in life with their career, with their families, in interacting with, you know, their current families and the families that they'll develop themselves. And so I want it to be more about than just lacrosse.
Yeah.
And I think that's just an important part of what I wanted to try to do a little bit different. Maybe it's hard to do because we're not together that much.
Yeah.
But to me, it had to be, if I was going to personally feel satisfied owning a team, it would have to be about more than just lacrosse. It'd have to be about developing people, because that's what I've done all of my career in every business that I've been in. And and I did admit to people that, hey, I may not be taking the right approach here if it's not about developing the person, the whole person, and we lose constantly and it doesn't work out, then so be it. But I wanted to try that.
One of the guys that really bought into that system, and from what I know of him, is an ideal player for the culture that you're building, and that is Andrew Suter. What has he meant to your organization since you guys drafted him?
Oh, he's meant the world to our organization. Andrew, I know you know him, and a lot of other folks know him. He's very close to his family, comes from a wonderful family. He's a great leader. You know, I didn't have to think long and hard at all about making him our captain because he really did embody what I was looking for, a person, you know, the team came first, a person where family was important, a person that wanted to learn and grow and develop, not just as a lacrosse player, but as a person, and a person that people would follow and, in fact, will run through walls for. So, you know, that's the type of culture that I'd like to have in our organization, and he certainly embodied that and has helped us to create that culture.
Do you have an update on how he's doing after surgery and everything that he's been through?
Well, I do. I understand, you know, we communicate quite often, and often by text. You know, the young kids do it that way, as the older guys are. But, you know, the last text I got from him, he's actually running ahead of schedule in terms of getting back out there and you know, getting the movement and starting to work himself back in terms of strengthening his leg and so on. So he's ahead of schedule, and I'm going to see him again this weekend despite the fact that he's not playing. He's our captain. We bring him to all of our games, and he's a great inspiration to all the players. So I'll get a better update even this weekend, but the last I heard, he's ahead of schedule, which doesn't surprise anybody, probably.
No, not at all. He's a tremendous young gentleman, and he's going to be a part of this league and your organization for quite a long time. That loss last year in the West Finals was tough for everybody within your organization, wasn't it?
Oh, it really was. It really was. We had accomplished so much, and against all the odds, I guess, at least people said that, and we had come so far, and then to lose the way that we did was very, very difficult. My mother used to tell me there's some good and all bad, and in this case, the couple of good things came out of it. One was when I walked into the locker room, I really could tell that we had, in fact, gotten the right people on the team because folks were genuinely upset, and they cared a lot about what had happened. They cared for each other, and they cared about the team. They cared about their parents and everyone associated with the program. They cared about the rest of the franchise. And we hadn't always seen that in Minnesota when we'd lose in the first round of the playoffs. And so that was, you know, that was a very, very good thing that I was able to see. And you know, I guess I would say that as hard as it was to lose and to lose in that way, at least we lost to a good friend in Bruce Irvin. Mm-hmm. Bruce and I have become very good friends, and he was at the game in Minnesota, and our families have gotten close, and we visit each other in the off season. So if we had to lose to anybody, that was the easiest person for us to lose to.
How has your relationship with Bruce grown? Like, where did that start? Was it just two business guys who weren't really lacrosse guys, you know, have a common bond?
I think that's probably a big part of it. We started talking in the off season about philosophy, about business in general, about how to build a team, and we had a lot of similar feelings about it. And the more we talked, the more we discovered how similar our feelings were, and the closer we got. And then you know, as I said, in the off season last year, he actually we've gotten together several times. He and my son Andy have gotten together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're probably right. I hadn't thought about it till now, but I think the fact that we both come from the business world and are trying to apply what we learned along the way in the business world to what we're doing now probably gave us common ground. And then the more we talked, the more we discovered that our philosophies in business were similar. And I think those philosophies have moved into what we are trying to do with our franchises as well.
Ever since that very first exhibition game back on December 10th, 2004 against Colorado, you drew 14,000 fans. I know you weren't involved with the organization then, but I was playing in that game. And ever since that first day, and I remember it very well, to now, one of the main constants have been a very loyal and passionate and fun fan base. Where do you think that comes from? Is it just because there's not a lot to do in Minnesota?
I don't know. I don't think it's that.
That was just a shot. That was a fun little rib.
I know it was. You know, the really unique thing about people in Minnesota is as cold as it gets there, and people laugh about that. The people in Minnesota love to get out in that weather. They're not fazed by it at all. But they're great sports fans. You look at all the sports teams there in Minnesota, you know, starting with the Wild and the Vikings and so on. They're great. It's a great fan base for sports overall.
Yeah.
But secondly, I think you know, the fun part of it comes from really what the organization did back then and what we do now. And I think we put out a great product. I think the product on the floor is great. I think the what happens off the floor during games, our goal dance that's evolved, it lends itself to having fun. And although, you know, we aren't where we want to be with attendance, anybody who ever comes to a Swarm game, and many of them have never been to a lacrosse game at all, walks away saying, wow, that was a lot of fun. So you're absolutely right, Teddy. It's a fun, loving group. I think the Swarm is a fun product that's put on the floor, and as a result, I think it's a great match. And I think the players, even though, you know, we're not drawing 15, 16,000, they tell me it's extremely loud down there on the field. And I think the players really respond to that. So it's a good match for everyone.
One of the things I've often liked about, you know, fledgling organizations that are just starting up is putting the right people in the right places. And over the past few years, you've had a great guy in your play-by-play booth who's helped fans become knowledgeable about the game of lacrosse. How has Jake Elliott helped the growth of the game in Minnesota?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I didn't know Jake at all until I started, when I decided to get more involved in the player personnel side of things, I started to watch games and on streaming video. Mm-hmm. And I heard this voice, and this voice was Jake Elliott's voice.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, that's a unique voice. He has a great way of calling a game. And I mean, I was excited, at virtually every play just because of the inflection in his voice.
Yes.
And so I ended up then doing scouting out on the West Coast, and I called Jake and I said, hey, would you be interested in helping me out a little bit here? And then as we got talking and we put together a deal to do television in Minnesota, our games are all broadcast the following Sunday at the same time. It just felt to me like he was a guy that could explain the game to people and show the excitement of the game better than anyone else I knew. Mm-hmm. So it was a great opportunity to get him involved, not just helping us from a scouting standpoint on the West Coast, but then doing what he loves, I think, most, and
yes,
that is the broadcast side of things. So it's meant a lot to us, and he's got a following, and I think he is as much responsible for us growing the game in Minnesota as anybody else.
You guys have always been very prominent in the community, out doing things. I'm just reading now, one of the latest news stories you guys are doing is you're creating an under-11 Swarm junior box team that's going to compete against some of the best NLL junior box teams across the country. Is that just showing a sign of how much lacrosse is growing in the hockey state?
Well, it is, yes. And let me just say that I think we're fortunate in that it's box lacrosse that we play.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first got to Minnesota, I didn't fully appreciate how big hockey is. In all honesty, part of our attendance problems are the kids are all playing hockey, everybody, boys, girls, everybody, until the end of February. And so our attendance starts to go up after that. But one of the things that Andy and I recognized when we sat down to try to really develop a strategy for how we grow the game is that these kids knew their way around a hockey rink.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Andy that when I'd go up to Canada and scout, I could see tremendous similarities between what was going on in Minnesota and what happens in Canada. And when our rink shut down, however, there wasn't lacrosse that was being played indoors. So
yeah,
we felt that our opportunity was to start a box lacrosse league and not necessarily get involved in the outdoor camps and clinics, but because people were doing those already, but no one was doing that. So Andy put this together, and today we've got about 1,200 kids playing in our youth box league, and that doesn't even include the high school league, which I think had 200 kids in it last year. So the Swarm Junior team was really an outgrowth of that, and the league at our last meeting in particular of the governors talking about wanting to put together as many teams as we could, and we said, yes, we'd love to get our group involved. I think it'll take a while for us to be competitive with some of the teams, but we've put a lot of emphasis this year on getting our players involved and teaching kids in the youth box league. So it's not just a matter of running around the rink and playing outdoor lacrosse indoors. It's now a matter of us trying to really teach them the indoor game. So we're excited about it. I think it's good for the league. I think it's really good for us as well. But growth of lacrosse in Minnesota, there's no question that the Swarm has had an impact. I'm really proud of the fact that my son Andy has had that impact in the Native American community. And they hadn't played lacrosse in probably 150 years in the state of Minnesota. Most all the parents and none of the kids really knew what lacrosse was. And now the reservations are playing lacrosse. Andy's put some great programs together, and frankly, it's having a really positive impact on the reservations in Minnesota. So we're as proud of that as we are the youth box league, because in both cases, we think we're really not just helping grow lacrosse, but helping to build better people.
A few more minutes here with John Arlotta of the Minnesota Swarm. A couple questions off topic. You spend some time in South Carolina. You're living now there. How's your golf game?
Not very good.
Come on.
I don't get a lot of opportunity to play because I've got this full-time job, and I generally every weekend I'm off doing something lacrosse related. So My wife and I are flying around a lot. I'm very fortunate to have a wife that loves the game as well, and she puts up with the intensity that I have about the game. But no, I play a little bit, not a whole lot. I played several times with my friend Steve Govett. He tends to beat me, but I think he plays a lot more than
probably,
I do.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite TV shows? Anything you like to sit down and kick your feet up and watch? Any you know, secret passions for reality television?
We do watch American Idol, believe it or not. My wife and I do watch that. Aside from that, you know, in the summer, we usually get done with work and get dinner and do my workout routine, and then we're both usually watching streaming video of summer lacrosse.
Okay,
and in the winter, I'll throw on the game. Usually she laughs at me, depending on whether or not we had a good game or a bad game.
Yeah.
It'll depend on that as to how many times I'll watch the game from the previous week, and she'll watch with me. So it's become a bit of a family thing, and it's a fun thing that we do together. But she plays a lot more golf than I do. During the day, she's out playing golf and tennis.
If you got the chance to be reincarnated as something or someone, what would it be?
Wow. Probably someone related to World War II. I'm a World War II buff.
Yeah.
And in my spare time, heck, when I'm running on our running machine, I usually have the military channel on.
Nice.
So probably someone like Eisenhower or MacArthur or someone like that, because I do feel it's truly, in the U.S., we call it the greatest generation.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who went and fought in that war, I know my dad did, and he was, I think, 18, maybe even 17 when he went off to war in the South Pacific. And
wow.
Can't imagine doing that at 17 years old.
No.
So I have tremendous respect for that generation, and I watch the military channel all the time just to learn everything I can about World War II. So it'd probably be someone like that.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite book that you recommend to people or something you're reading now?
Not really. I don't, most of the reading I do relates to my job. So it'd be a book that no one would recognize because it'd probably be related to healthcare in some way.
Yeah.
So no, I'm a bit boring in that regard. I have a pretty set routine of work, workout, eating, and then doing something lacrosse related before I go to bed at night.
Do you have a favorite quote?
Actually, I do. It's one that has been in all of the organizations that I've been involved with, and it's more, I guess, not quite a quote so much as it is initials. It's GSD, and GSD stands for Get Shit Done. So we basically have the mantra, whether it's in the lacrosse franchise or in the business that I'm running, that you know, we're going to be successful if we're able to get things done, make things happen. So GSD is just kind of the funny expression that that we use for it.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what GSD means if they work for me.
One last question for you. What would you like your tombstone when the time comes to say?
Oh, boy.
No pressure.
No pressure. I have never thought about that. Hopefully
no.
I'll be around a while now to think about it some
we
more.
We hope so,
but
too.
No, I think it'd probably relate in some way to helping young people to develop and become you know, great people, contributing in some way.
Mm-hmm.
To you know, to the world in a positive way. I take that as being a very important thing. Over my career, whether it's in business or now with the Swarm, I really I spend time talking to people about becoming the best person you can be and making a difference in somebody's life. So probably have. I haven't thought about it. I'll start thinking about it now. Thanks for reminding me, Teddy. I know that you know I'm probably the oldest GM in the league, so I appreciate you reminding me of that. I'll work on it.
Well, you've hopefully inspired a lot of people by this chat. I know you've inspired me with everything you've done with Minnesota Swarm and your entire business career, John. I appreciate you taking the time. This has been another fantastic chat. Good luck for your Minnesota Swarm this weekend. Two big Eastern Conference games, but you guys are right in the thick of things for the playoffs, and we look forward to bigger and better things from yourself and the Minnesota Swarm.
Well, thank you, Teddy. Thank you for what you do for lacrosse and for the National Lacrosse League. It's really important, and we appreciate it.
Another one of the greats in the National Lacrosse League, general manager, president, owner, and a man of many talents and stories, John Arlotta of the Minnesota Swarm, joining us right here on the Off the Crossbar podcast. Hope you learned something from Mr. Arlotta. I know I did. But it's nice to see people, you know, this is types of owners the National Lacrosse League are trying to look for. It doesn't have to necessarily be an NHL ownership group. He is proving that it can be done with no previous sports, real sports background or lacrosse background for that matter. And he's making it work in the Hive. And I know everyone who plays for him has spoken very highly of what he has done for that organization, who he is as a person, and the beliefs and the culture that he has built in Minnesota. Thanks for tuning in this week to the Off the Crossbar podcast here on isleindoor.com, brought to you by Inside Lacrosse. Next week, we go to the Eastern Conference. We'll touch base with Terry Sanderson, general manager of the Toronto Rock. He is up next on deck. We'll talk to you in a week's time right here on OTCB. Enjoy the games this weekend, folks. There's just 3 weeks left in the regular season. And remember, be excellent to each other.